Are you one of the many couples who began your relationship in what we call the high octane or honeymoon stage, but now life has you wondering, where did all that love and connection go?
Hey, if this sounds like part of your current story, welcome to the Red Truck Marriage Podcast. We want to help you experience God's best in marriage, a relationship that is stronger, deeper, and more exciting than ever before.
So meet my wife and co-host, Stuart Anderson.
And he's my husband and co-host, Dr. David Anderson.
It's time for you to become the heroes of your marriage story. So let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Red Truck Marriage Podcast.
Hey, like all of you, David and I continue to learn new things about ourselves and each other and our marriage, and we have some stories to tell you today. In fact, honey, I realized something new today, and it's related to the episode we did on protecting our sacred time or finding out what your spouse's sacred time is. You know how you and I love to get up and read while we're having our coffee in the morning?
I sure do. It's like one of my favorite parts of the day.
Well, mine too. And lately, since I'm a week away from the end of school, I've been imagining my new daily schedule. Well, what I've realized since we've been sheltering in place for 2 months is that even though I'm at home and I'm not really alone for sacred time because you're here. Mm-hmm. And remember, for introverts, being alone is recharging. So today it occurred to me that even though I've been waking up way before you for years and now I don't really have to wake up early, I've discovered that I love waking up an hour before you and being by myself, because then it turns into true sacred time for me. And I think that's going to be part of my new summer plan. I also realized that your sacred time since we've been at home is to go into your office and close the door and have a Zoom meeting with your guys, you know, your hangout time, because you're an extrovert. So I think these are actions we could keep doing. And it's great to learn new things like that, isn't it?
That's a good strategy, and it is. And yes, indeed, I do love going up to my home office and getting on Zoom and hanging out with some of my friends, particularly this time when we're like all on lockdown and everything. It's good to see their faces. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, we've had a big time learning moment last week, and I want to tell you folks about it. Many of you may have noticed that we chose not to put out a episode last week. Our reason? Because we couldn't agree on the content. Like, as we were putting it together, we both realized that we had different ideas.
Yes.
About this podcast episode.
Yes, we did. And we could both feel the tension growing as we were working on it. And finally, David just said, let's step away from this and gather our thoughts.
And you know what, folks? After about an hour and a half, I reached back out to Stuart and I said, listen, let's just take a week off from producing an episode. I mean, there's no crime in that or anything. When we started podcasting back in February, actually, mm-hmm. Yeah, we launched on Valentine's Day. Here's what we said to ourselves. Our number one commitment was going to be authenticity to our audience. Well, the authentic move last week was to simply sit and not check this thing off or force it.
David's right about that. We never want our podcast to be a checkoff during the week. So there's our story for why there was a break in our podcast schedule.
Yes. So speaking of stories again, you know, several years ago, Stuart and I were having dinner with our daughter, Liz. I remember it like it was yesterday. I won't get into this amazing salmon that I cooked that night on the grill.
Well, honey, you'll always be my favorite grill master, and I love your salmon, but that's not the point of our story.
All right, I get that. But, you know, you're right. But it was like a signature move. And if you don't know the concept of signature move, you have to listen to our previous episode called You Are Enough. I really want you to do that. So back to the story. The three of us, we're enjoying dinner and catching up. I want to say Lizzie was maybe her early 20s, maybe about 23. She looked at us and she asked this question. She says, "How do you guys do it?" Now, in my mind, I thought, wow, like she's asking a personal question about our sex lives, I guess.
Well, I remember asking her, "Do what?"
And then she said, "You know, your friendship. You guys seem to be really good friends. You seem close, like you enjoy one another." And I remember Stuart and I looked at each other, and almost simultaneously, we looked at Liz and said, "Grace and forgiveness." Mm-hmm. That's it. That's how we remain close friends. We each give others, or one another, grace and forgiveness, at least most days. We share this story with you today, folks, really for two reasons. One, because most people are interested in what makes a marriage really work, where there's friendship and connection and humor and like romance. And the other reason we tell you that story, because we truly believe with everything we have that grace and forgiveness is the key to having an intimate marriage.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we were talking to Liz, we both went on to explain that we don't always get along like everything is perfect. And we all know a perfect relationship with no conflict is impossible. Everyday life brings conflict. Conflict in things such as finances or parenting, home management, or just putting down the toilet seat.
Right.
What's important in these moments of conflict is that we first choose to give grace and forgiveness. Now, by grace, we mean to give our spouse room to make mistakes and be imperfect. We choose to love them anyway. Mm-hmm. Giving grace in the midst of imperfect moments or events makes it impossible to harbor anger and resentment towards our spouse. So what we're encouraging you to do here is to give grace or room for mistakes in the small or large moments of everyday life. And some of you may resist that, saying, "I'm not worried about the small things with my spouse. My spouse and I have huge problems." Mm. But we want you to know that it's in the small moments that the anger and the resentment starts building and the bad habits of withholding grace start forming.
No question. You know, anger and resentment is what we call the number one intimacy killer or marriage killer. So we're going to stay on this topic of grace for this episode and talk about the power of forgiveness next week. So be sure to tune in to our next week's episode because you're going to get a lot of good content out of that. So I'm asking you to stay with us here on this episode and really focus on this content because remember Lizzie's question. How do you do this connection thing in your marriage? Both Stuart and I believe that the Red Truck Marriage audience, you folks, are people just like us who want real day-to-day connection, like heart-to-heart connection with our husbands and wives.
So what is this grace thing? Grace is a difficult thing to define. But what we want to do is give you a glimpse of what it may look like in relationships. As we said earlier, giving grace means giving our husband or wife room or unconditional love in the midst of being imperfect. Meaning we do not choose to be angry or have resentment, and we do not choose to withdraw our love in the midst of those imperfect moments. We said in the previous episode that David referred to earlier called "You Are Enough," that we believe all behavior that is outside of God's best is rooted in shame and guilt. But giving grace to our spouse gives him or her the best chance of seeing themselves as the imperfect people they are, but still lovable and valued by their spouse, and more importantly, the God who made them. Let me share one of my favorite stories about a couple who put this grace into action. And they even sent us a picture of how they did it.
I remember that.
Wish we could show it to you. They were a couple that truly got it. And they understood that it was the tiny conflicts that started that accumulation of anger and resentment. Well, the husband was completely frustrated every time he walked into the pantry because the bag of cereal inside the box was open and his cereal was stale. And the same thing happened to his bags of chips and crackers. They never got clothes tied enough by his wife. Well, when they understood that there was a different way to handle this than to choose anger and criticism, they came up with a plan together. They made a date to go shopping together, and they sent us a picture of their shopping cart at Walmart filled with plastic containers with tops.
And they had these happy faces, like, problem
yes.
solved.
Their new system was just to put all the cereal and the chips and the crackers into the containers. They just solved their problem without anger and resentment. They just realized they needed a different way of doing things.
Exactly. And you know what, folks? Some of you may think that Stuart's story is full of pettiness. And you know what? On some level, it is. But the truth is, many people in marriage get derailed by the small things that become big over time. So grace is the antidote to getting derailed. It's for those instances where we are simply different than our spouse. For those times when there are also big time violations. So grace is for those small moments, like you're making the potato chips stale and we need to fix it and because it makes me mad. And also for those bigger violations that also occur in our marriage. Listen, I love how Philip Yancey put it in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace. Here's what he says. Grace doesn't excuse sin, but it treasures the sinner. What better place is there to experience grace than in our marriage? The world your spouse lives in drops the ball when it comes to giving grace. They're not out there experiencing it every day. I can promise you that. Giving grace doesn't make you a doormat. It makes you a door that offers freedom for your spouse from shame and guilt. And watch this. The invitation to experience love and be truly authentic in marriage. You know, Stuart and I met with a couple a while back. I'll never forget this. We asked the wife what she would need from her husband in order to allow him to know her more deeply. Because she says, I want to be known by him more deeply. So we were like, so what needs to happen from him in order for that to happen? Her reply was so profound and powerful. She says, I need to trust that he will just sit in my story with me without judgment.
I loved her answer. What she was saying was, I need grace from my husband. I just need room to be myself and not criticized. You know, grace comes in many forms. Sometimes grace is just sitting with no words. We call it the ministry of presence. There are no shoulds or ought tos or advice giving or fixing it, just sitting and listening. This is even more difficult when our spouse's imperfections or differences hurt or annoy us.
Wow, I really love that, Stuart, to be able to just sit in it without giving advice and fixing it. And I'm telling you, that's a tough one for a lot of us out there. You know, I want to give you another example of those lesser but sometimes hurtful situations that require grace. Now, you may remember from some of our most recent podcasts that Stuart has had this crazy cough really for about the past 4 weeks. Finally, she actually went to see a doctor who prescribed prednisone, Well, if you know anything about prednisone, like it truly is an amazing drug, but it also has side effects. It can make you really, really irritable. Well,
I don't remember that part, but go ahead.
and it's interesting because most people think of you, and I think of you as, you have a sweet spirit, and you do. So irritability, it's not an everyday occurrence, unlike me, maybe. But, so I got to tell you, I got the raw end of Stuart's irritability a few times over the past week or so. Those times when I experienced Stuart's edginess, or times when I needed to give grace. Like when she had this edginess, I needed to give her grace. Perhaps my self-talk simply needs to be, David, don't sweat the small stuff. Give her room. Yet, I know there are other times in relationships where it isn't that simple. Some kind of like true behavior change needs to happen before things are, quote, okay or like reconciled. But grace still needs to be extended. That is, here's what it looks like. I love you and I value you and I'm not going anywhere.
Well, I want to tell you, thank you for all of that grace, because you did, you did very well with it. Again, where grace lives, resentment and anger cannot. David, I know about carrying suitcases full of anger and resentment, because that has been part of my story. But as we said before, it's an intimacy killer. I think carrying resentment and anger is a false form of protection, and it's fueled by the lack of grace in our own lives. Responding with grace in the midst of our own imperfections is the way to personal freedom from our own guilt and shame. We must accept grace from God and ourselves before we can give grace.
Wow, what a great truth. In fact, I want to say that again. We must accept grace from the God who made us and ourselves, which is really hard at times, before we can give grace to other people. That is such a great truth. To give ourselves room to navigate and fall short, which means to not like get it right all the time, is the road to freedom. Many people don't have a model for this kind of thing called grace. They certainly don't see it in our world or in church and therefore in God. The truth is, as the Apostle Paul said, the life of Christ is a gospel of grace. I love that. It makes me think of a story, speaking in the Gospels, actually, where this woman had been brought before Christ, and these men had brought her there because they had basically caught her having an affair. I guess probably caught her actually in the act of, being with somebody. And they look to Jesus and they're like, all right, Jesus, so this woman here was caught in the act of adultery. We caught her in bed with this guy and it wasn't her husband. Now, the law says we need to stone this woman. What do you say we should do? And I love Christ's response of grace, because the first thing he did was he looked at those men and he said, hey, fellas. And they all had rocks in their hands ready to go. If any of you are without blemish, if any of you haven't ever messed up, if any of you have never sinned, then by all means, throw a stone at this woman. And the story goes that all of them began dropping their rocks and started turning away because nobody qualified. But then here's the picture of grace. Jesus looks at this woman and try to empathize with this woman for just a minute. Do you think she felt embarrassed? Do you think maybe she was probably half clothed in front of all these men and now before Christ? And Jesus bends down to her and he looks at her and he says, "Didn't anyone condemn you?" And the woman looks at him and she says, "No one did." And he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go now. Like, stop sleeping around. Stop violating your husband. But go in peace. Go without condemnation. Be free of guilt and shame." To me, that is a picture of what grace looks like.
David and I believe that there is no better place to honor God and express the heart of God than in our marriages. Intimacy will follow.
There's not a doubt in my mind. And, you know, folks, I hope you really think about this podcast today and this notion of grace and what it means and what it means to receive grace and give grace. But, you know, I want to go back to that dinner table with Liz for a moment. You know, her real question was really this. "Look, guys, I know neither one of you are perfect. And therefore, I know there are times when you annoy each other, maybe even hurt each other. How do you stay friends? You know, the kind who move towards one another most days." And our answer, it continues to be grace and forgiveness.
So it's our time for a call to action. As we always say, without a call to action, there is no growth. We must be intentional if we want to change our lives.
We really do. And I think we need to be intentional if we're going to begin to give grace in situations in our marriage where grace is so called on. You know, here's one of the things we want you to do. Ask yourself where the places are in your marriage that need grace. What are moments, things that constantly happen? You know, those little things that become big things. And then secondly, what does it mean to you in your marriage to not excuse the sin, as Philip Yancey says, but treasure the sinner? What does that mean in your marriage? And then I have a bonus action for you. Listen to this episode with your spouse and have a conversation about how grace in your marriage would bring a whole new level of intimacy to one another.
Those are great actions to consider this week, and we just hope that it helps you to create a new story for your marriage. We're so glad that you're with us today. We love being a part of your marriage story. Be sure to drive that red truck in your marriage today.
Bye for now.